Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for this day that you've made, for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We certainly thank you for those who have given their lives for this country. We thank you. We remember them on this Memorial Day, and we pray for their souls where they are, Lord God. We know that they've been restored unto you if they died believing in Christ. We thank you for the freedom that we have been given in this country. Lord God, we are reminded that this freedom is won not always easily, but through war, through fighting, through killing. And so we do not take it lightly. Remember those who are now wounded because of all that goes on. God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this wonderful place called America. We pray that you'll continue to bless us and bless our church. And speak to our hearts, Lord God. And let us begin to seek peace and to live in peace with each other. And do not let all of this dying go in vain. And so, Lord God, speak a word now as we gather here in this Memorial Day. Speak a word for us in this Memorial Sunday. And touch us where we need to be touched. And remind us of this great freedom we have in this country that was given to us because of the sacrifice of others. We thank you now, Lord God. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength, our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And so today, as we come, we gather here, we certainly thank God that we could worship the Lord freely in this country. What a gift it is. We take it for granted. But there are many places where that is not possible. Christians are persecuted. And the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot be said. But here we are. And so thank God for this country. And so my sermon title today is Faith to Believe. We have one real huge story. And I always think of the first king's text as a story that you could make a movie of, make a movie about. It's a huge text. It calls for the imagination. And it calls for something grand. And then there is the gospel story of one man's faith. A simpler story. A pastor and author, J.R. Vassar, writes about ministering in Burma and coming upon a broken Buddha. He says, "One day we were prayer walking through a large Buddhist temple when I witnessed something heartbreaking. A large number of people, very poor and desperate, were bowing down to a large golden Buddha. They were stuffing what seemed to be the last of their money into the treasury box and kneeling in prayer, hoping to secure a blessing from the Buddha. On the other side of the large golden idol, scaffolding had been built. The Buddha had begun to deteriorate, and a group of workers was diligently repairing the broken Buddha. I took in the scene," he says. "Broken people were bowing down to a broken Buddha, asking the broken Buddha, to fix their broken lives, while someone else fixed the broken Buddha. The insanity and the despair of it all hit me." This story, Old Testament story, is about folks having to make a decision. You see, our God is a huge God, a large God, and believing in our God sometimes takes everything that we have. Yet, just having a simple faith is just as important. Faith to believe in God can do mighty and big things for us. I read this other piece that says that this is now was in the news day last week, Do churchgoers live longer? And the writer says, religious services aren't just good for your soul, they might be good for your health. A new study released Monday in a journal published by the American Medical Association says that those who attend church services more often actually have a better chance of staying alive in the long run. Aren't you glad you're here this morning? Good news for us today. You better keep coming now, says the article. Over a 20-year, I'm going to start preaching this all over. I don't know, we got to get it out there. It was just in Newsday. Didn't make this up. Came from the Washington Post. Over a 20-year span, the study surveyed a group of more than 76,000 female nurses, most of whom were Catholic and Protestants. One for us, we are in the mix. At the end of the 20 years, more than 13,000 of them had died. The women who went to religious services more than once a week, wait till I have the second service, more than once a week, it turned out, were 33% less likely to be in the group who died compared to those who never attended services. Are you thinking of quitting services this summer? Don't. One of the team's most striking findings was on breast cancer. Women who attended services were no more or less likely to contract breast cancer. So, you know, the percentages are the same. But those who attended services were substantially less likely to die of it. Do you believe that? We were quite struck by that, Van der Wiel said. Maybe it is a sense of hope or of faith, even in the face of illness and disease. A capacity to try to find meaning in the disease experience, or feeling supported by a community even while struggling with illnesses. That would be my speculation as to those results. But I do agree it was surprising. So here it is. This medical report is saying, coming to church, choosing to follow God, and having faith in God certainly can help our response to our illnesses, giving us faith and hope to go through. And don't we find that to be true, church? For all of us here have gone through something, haven't we? Right, the sicknesses or illnesses, or if we haven't, we have loved ones who have gone through it. And we want to be reminded, this article reminds us that God, you know, that knowing God and trusting in God and believing in God is important. And more so, acting out and coming to church, that you're coming to church to be here, to hear the song sing, to hear the scripture read, to hear the preach word, you know, to get involved, to be in fellowship, is very good for our well-being, right? That when a nation becomes less and less, you know, of churchgoers, this is what we see happening in the culture now, where the culture slowly is becoming so bankrupt in areas. You find a lot of drug addiction on the rise and all of that, because there is no hope. Church in itself give you hope. Have you ever heard a great song, right? Like, yeah, and then you hear it, and even though you've been going through a great hymn, you've been going through something difficult, you hear a scripture read, and just one line of the scripture, something like Jesus saying, I will not leave you or forsake you. And all of a sudden, it just gives you this hope, that one moment, you says, oh yes, I could go on, because you've chosen to follow the Lord. Now, this story of Elijah is talking about a huge image of God. Elijah is a man of faith, and you're going to see this great, unexpected, spectacular thing that's going to happen to the people, because those same people, they were wavering in their faith. We live in a culture now, if we don't watch out, we could what? Waver in our faith, right? We could waver. Those of us who are long-standing believers of the Lord, following the Lord, if we are not careful, we could waver. Because the culture itself is pulling away from the God, you know, the God that we believe in. There are folks who think going to church. Going to what church? What are you going to church for? You're not just going to church because you have to come here. You've got to be getting something out of it for yourself. And a mere presence of God being here. Now, before I just summarize this great story of Elijah for you so you can get a great image of this movie that I'm going to make. And the movie, when I make it, is going to be called Showdown on Mount Carmel. It's going to be a showdown on Mount Carmel, right? Between the God, you know, our God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, the mighty God, the omnipotent God, the real God, and the little God, the Baal. Yeah, we're going to see that showdown, and Elijah is going to show the people. And we should expect great things from God. Fred Craddock, a great, great preacher who has gone on to be with the Lord now, tells a story about a young pastor who goes to pray with an older woman. Now, it's a little humorous story, so listen for it. Don't get weepy at the beginning. She's near death, and she's in the hospital lying on the pillow, gasping for breath. He visits with her, and then he says, "I need to go, but would you like to have a prayer before I go?" The old woman said, "Yes." So he says, "Well, what would you like us to pray for today?" And she says, I'd like to be healed, of course." He's not expecting her to say this, you see. The young pastor gasps, but goes on. And he begins to pray, "Lord, we pray for your sustaining presence for this sick sister. And if it be thy will, we pray that she will be restored to health and to service. But if it's not thy will, we certainly hope that she will adjust to her circumstances." That's his prayer, because he's covering both bases. Do you understand? Suddenly, the old woman opens her eyes and sits up in bed. She throws her feet over the side of the bed. She stands up. She says, "I think I'm healed." And she strides out the door. The last the pastor sees, she's striding down the hall toward the nurse's station, saying, "Look at me, look at me, I'm healed." The pastor goes down the steps. He goes out to the parking lot. Before he opens the door of his car, he looks up to heaven and he said, "Don't you ever do that to me again." See, he had counted her out, right? He had counted her out. He thought it was all over, but God was going to surprise him. You understand? She had not given up. This is what is happening here now with Elijah, right? The folks had counted out Elijah. Elijah, all the other prophets of Yahweh, that long text you heard read by Akio, I'm going to simplify it. All the other prophets of Yahweh had been killed. And there were Ahab and Jezebel. Never name your child Jezebel. Please don't, if you have a daughter, because Jezebel was not a nice person. It's not a nice name, Jezebel. But Ahab and Jezebel had killed all the prophets. And the only one prophet left was Elijah at that time, that moment, right? And so Ahab sent to all the Israelites and he called them and he assembled the prophets at Mount Carmel. Why did he do that? He assembled them because he wanted to show the people that the God of Israel that they were worshiping had no power. Do you understand? He was going to demonstrate to them that their God had no power. Because poor Elijah had been hiding at one point, you know, he went to hide. God had to give him strength and say, "Come on out, I'm with you." That's another part of 1 Kings, right? And you'll see. So now he's by himself. And so they're at Mount Carmel for the great showdown. And Elijah then came near to all the people and he said, "How long will you go limping with two different opinions?" Elijah said to the people, "How long are you going to go limping with two different opinions?" What he was saying to them, how long are you going to go believing in one thing one day and believing in the other thing the other day. Do you understand? You're limping between two opinions. Today you believe in God, tomorrow you don't believe in God. Do you know people like that? Something go wrong, they don't believe in God. Something go right, they believe in God, right? Because God is like a slot machine for them. Or a vending machine, right? If you pop a quarter in, if you get something out, then you believe in God. But if you pop that quarter in and you don't get something out, you don't believe in God. That's a whole another sermon. Do you know? God is not a vending machine. Right? That, you know, God, sometimes you pray, you don't get it, sometimes you do. So Elijah said to them, how long are you going to go? Are you going to believe it? Elijah got a plan. Elijah himself is going to show up on Mount Carmel. He says, if the Lord God is God, if the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then you follow him. And the people did not say a word. So he gave them that. He says, if the Lord is God, then you follow him. So God was going to prove himself to them on that day that he's God. And the Bible says Elijah was the only prophet, and Baal, they had 450 prophets. You know, it's like you and me being a Christian. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes we feel like we're the only one. Sometimes we live in households. Do you know we live in households sometimes where nobody else is going to church, nobody else believes. And you feel like you're the only one, right? Talking about the Lord. I told them this morning that there is this Korean woman I met who children comes here sometimes. And she told me she's a Christian, became a Christian, was not brought up in a Christian household. And she told me a whole family, nobody's a Christian, don't believe in God, Christian. Yet she is trying to raise those two children and she has accepted Christ. Do you know how lonely that can be? Sometimes you're the only one that believes, or you're praying for everybody. And some of us have been praying for our children. I want to encourage us. Sometimes our children, we bring them up in church and then they walk away from it and they no longer believe. But I'm telling you, you stay believing in this God and you stay, keep praying. You just keep praying. Sometimes you don't see it happening. Sometimes you don't know when it's going to happen. But keep praying, because this God of Elijah is listening. You may not think God is hearing. The kids are not, changing. They're taking drugs. They're not going to church. They're doing whatever. Or sometimes they have their regular jobs and they're doing well, but they want nothing to do with God. Keep praying. Keep praying. I'm telling you, there's power in our prayers. You just keep praying for them. Even when you don't see any change, you keep praying. On your knees before this same God. This God who is real. Our God is real. I can feel it in my soul. The songwriter says, yes, God is real, for he is what? We can trust him and love him because we know he's real. We can't explain it. His love for me is like pure gold. God is real to us. And you continue. So Elijah knew that. And so Elijah says, come together, folks. And he told the 450 prophets, he says, you set up your altar. They're going to set up their altar with their bulls and all the things they set up, and they're going to be calling on their gods. And Elijah says, when you get finished, I'm going to set up my altar. One prophet against 450 prophets of Baal. Can you imagine? And so they did. They set up they cut up their bulls and their pieces, and they laid on the wood. Can you just imagine? This is in a movie. They're on Mount Carmel. It's a showdown now. There are no guns, you know. That's the power of God. Come on, church. Don't you get it? Don't you ever read the Bible and just get the story? And it makes you laugh? Don't you enjoy reading the Bible like I do? Sometimes I read and I say, get out of here. Is this happening? You know, could you just see that this great story is left for us? And there they are on the mountain, this high mountain. All the people are watching. And they're all just watching. I should have brought my thing here and see if God would come down today. And there it is. They put all the bulls and everything on there. And they begin to call unto their God. God, Baal, all day long, morning till night. And they're dancing around it. And then Elijah, what a prophet he was. He started mocking them and says, where is your God? I don't think that was very Christian, but Elijah was tough. They had already killed everybody. Elijah didn't care. He figured, I'm going to win. I'm not going to win. And now Elijah's calling, and they're calling out to their God. And at noon, Elijah mocked them, said, cry aloud. Surely he is God. Either he's meditating or has he wandered away. He's now teasing them. Nothing happened. And then at the end of the day, Elijah says, my turn. I'm going to show you what my God can do. My turn. That's what you've got to do with your children sometimes. You know, when they turn away and things are not going right, and then they come back home after you've been praying for years, you say to them, you know why we're still in this house? It's because of God. He's the one who paid the mortgage. Help me to pay the mortgage. Do you know why you went through school? It's because of God. You understand? You're like Elijah, right? Do you know why I could pay your tuition? It's because of God. Do you know why there's a couple dollars left that when I'm gone you'll get? It's because of God. You start bringing it home to them. Huh? Do you know why there was food on the table? It's because of God. Right? So Elijah says, I'm going to get ready. Anytime we take it on that it's just us who did it, we forget that it's because of God's mercy and God giving us health and strength and God's grace that has brought us through, that if it was not for the Lord on our side, where would we be? Oh, come on now, church, on this day. Huh? If it was not for the Lord on our side, and the Bible says Elijah, oh, glory to God for the prophet Elijah. He got his stuff and he got his, built his altar, and he told him to get all out of water, 6 cups or 7 cups or whatever number of cups it was, and he laid down and he said, not only is he going to build an altar and wait for the Lord to speak, he's going to pour water on it. One time, they soaked the altar wet, the stones and the sticks. That means it's soaking wet. That means man can't do it. Something is going to happen, and then he did it one time. Then he soaked the altar again the second time. And he soaked it the third time. That means it's soaking wet. So that means whatever happens, it cannot be mankind. It has to be God. And the Bible tells us that, guess what Elijah did? After he did that, he began to pray. He began to pray. You know what he did? He put the 12 stones. 12 stones represented all of the tribes of Israel. You see, when we go to pray, we need to be praying for generations to come. Generations gone in our family. You know, even if you're not a grandmother, if you have children, you pray for those children that are going to come in your family. God, when you bless my daughter and son with babies 20 years from now, I'm praying that you bless my family for generations upon generations to come. Oh, that's what you do. You're praying and you're speaking word. You're planting seed. You're spreading it out into the world so that God will hear. Oh, God will know that you're praying. I'm telling you, many of us are going through good times because our mama prayed for us. And our grandmama prayed for us. And our daddy prayed for us. Huh? We're living off their prayers. Do you know that? We may not know it, but they prayed and brought us to Sunday school and took us before the Lord. And the Bible says, oh, glory to God this morning for the God of Israel, for the God of, you know, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, for the our God, huh? For our God who's mighty. The Bible says, Elijah, then after he set it up, it says, at the time of the offering of oblation, Elijah began to pray, and he says, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known that this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things that you're bidden. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and you have turned their hearts back. And the Bible said, as the people are watching, could you imagine if God just showed up here now in fire? What would we do? You know, we couldn't move from our seats, you know, because we'd be so awed. But the Bible says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. That means all that wood and stone that was full of water, the fire consumed them. The fire of God consumed them, the stones and everything. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and says, the Lord indeed is God. The Lord indeed is God. This is a huge story. Huge story. Are many of our faiths like that? No, we probably don't have the faith of Elijah, that huge faith. But the gospel reminds us that God even listens to the faith and answers the prayers and the requests of unbelievers or people who don't even understand faith. And this was a centurion. The centurion was a Roman. He wasn't like Elijah. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't an Israelite. He was an outsider. He didn't quite get it. He wasn't following Yahweh, but he was good to the Jewish people. He allowed them to build their synagogue. And he treated his servants well, but he was not a follower of Yahweh. He wasn't following Jesus. Yet he surprised Jesus. Scripture tells us twice in Jesus' ministry, Jesus is flabbergasted. Once in Mark 6, after Jesus is rejected in Nazareth, he was shocked that they rejected him. And now in this scripture, Jesus is astonished again, this time by just the opposite. He's flabbergasted at the Roman centurion's amazing faith. This man, sometimes our own kids, who don't show up all the time to church, could stand up every now and then and surprise us with their faith. I told them early in the service that at Mother Jones, Mother Jones, the Episcopal pastor next door, she died. The sick and died, 68 years old, young woman. And they had her body laid out in the church. And I went to the wake and, of course, to the funeral. And they had a mic and I spoke. They had me and different people speak. And they said, would you like to say something on behalf of Mother Jones? And you start with, I thank God. And the first person who raised their hand was a little boy up front. He was sitting next near to the casket. Sat there all the time with that open casket. Little redhead boy. And he got up and he took the mic and he said, I thank God for Mother Jones because she baptized me and taught me about Jesus. That was it. That little boy changed the room. Everybody was... You could hear. I could barely speak when it was my time. His heart had been touched, that little boy. He says, I thank God for Mother Jones. He had to be about 10. Because Mother Jones baptized me and told me about Jesus. He had been baptized as a baby. But he remembered and taught me about Jesus. And at his funeral, at our funeral, the service, he was one of the, the kids that, altar boys, I guess. Because we went to the cathedral in Garden City. The Episcopalian, that little boy's heart had been touched and changed, even though one would not think it. This is what would happen to that centurion. He had known and seen the Jewish people worship. He understood. He didn't quite get faith. It's not always the big prayer that God needs. It's great to see the big Elijah prayer. It's great to see the power of Elijah. But there are many of us who are saying smaller prayer. We can't even put it together to articulate it. We can't even say the words. But God still hears. And the Bible says he went to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, you don't even have to come. This is what surprised Jesus. He wasn't a follower. He says, you don't even have to come to my house, Lord. Do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. That's what got Jesus. I'm not worthy. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. Just say the word. A man not knowing Christ. Therefore, I do not presume for you to come, but only speak the word and let my servant be healed. For I am a man set under authority with soldiers under me. And he's telling Jesus, I understand authority. You're a big guy, he's trying to say to Jesus. You're a big shot. You have authority. I have authority. You don't have to come because I say it. Just say the word. And Jesus was so surprised by his deep faith. Simple, deep faith. He says, when Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he says, I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. Church, sometimes we minimize our faith. Because we can't say big prayers. Because you can't talk like me and talk. Right? And say big prayers and know the Bible and know everything. Or think I do or try to. Whatever. It's your task. We think sometimes God isn't listening. But God said he looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. But God looks at the heart. A heart that needs him. A heart that seeks him. Is it right for me? Yes, I'm a pastor. I'm supposed to speak and we're supposed to preach and the singers are supposed to sing. But does that mean our heart is any better than your heart for Christ? No. Does that mean our hearts seek Christ any more than you do? No. There are pastors who burn out. The evangelists who burn out. We get problems too. Heart. Sometimes a young person like this young girl or that young guy. Any of these young people could touch the heart of Christ. Because in their innocence, or maybe they're not knowing, they believe. Or they're seeking Christ. And God hears the big prayers, and he hears the little prayers. And if you have a centurion faith, that you're so humble, You could say, God, I'm not even worthy to stand near you. I'm not even worthy to call your name. He will understand. Our Bible says he hears every prayer. And so three key points. Humility is important in faith. To be humble before God. Humility. The centurion says, Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy. I am not worthy. See, God makes us worthy. And faith, but only speak the word and let thy servant be healed. He had faith. He didn't understand faith, but he had it in his own words. And then gratitude, a heart that is grateful to God, to give thanks. That's what's needed. And so today we are reminded that there are two stories here, a huge story for the movies and a simple story for daily living. And when we call on the name of the Lord, he'll answer. He'll answer Elijah, and he'll answer a Roman centurion. What a God he is. So keep praying for your kids or your loved ones. Keep praying for your unsaved loved ones. Keep praying for those who are not coming to church or you want them to. Keep praying for them who don't believe. Keep praying because this is a God who hears and answers every prayer. And I've been praying for some folks, and I'm going to pray till the last breath. That day when I draw the last breath, if I have the wherewithal, I'll be calling out their name if they're not yet following Jesus. Because I know he's faithful and just, and he will do it. Amen.